This episode of Just Add Sprinkles Celebrating Motherhood is brought to you by Mox Shoes. Mox are for women from every walk of life, and they are the perfect travel shoe. More in a bit, and make sure you stay tuned for a special discount code.
Go ahead, shake that jar of sprinkles and celebrate your role as a mom. I'm Stephanie Fleece with City Moms Blog Network, and my hope is that the next 40 minutes or so bring a smile to your face, a skip to your step, and a sprinkle or two to your mundane. This is Just Add Sprinkles, Celebrating Motherhood, a podcast by City Moms Blog Network. November is National Adoption Month, and on behalf of the huge network of adoptive moms who read, contribute, and own our network of sister sites, we are so excited to talk all about adoption in today's episode. As you'll hear, this episode is not just for adoptive moms, but we have something just for those considering adoption, as well as tips on how to best support friends who are adopting themselves. While all adoption stories begin with heartbreak, what I also love about adoption is that out of the heartbreak come a celebration of love and life and family. And so we're going to do just that. We are going to celebrate the gift of adoption today. So here's what I have coming your way in this episode of Just Add Sprinkles. First, we're going to hear from one of my very dear friends who happens to be City Moms Blog Network's creative director as well, Laura Ellerbrook, and she's going to share her adoption story. We also have an update on the adoption story of a previous podcast guest, which is extremely exciting news. Plus, we'll hear from a few adoptive mamas as they share their hearts with us about adoption. And in case you didn't know, it's that time of year to start thinking about gift giving. And so we have the perfect ideas for you. Get the scoop on that in this episode. We'll also share some exciting news about a new City Moms Blog local site. And then we'll finish up with a discount offer from our sponsor, Mox. And I just so happen to be wearing their shoes right now, and so I cannot wait to share information with you about them. With that, let's get started. Adoption. Chances are the topic of adoption hits very close to home for you. Either you have an adopted child, or maybe you've been adopted yourself, or someone in your circle has an adopted child. Personally, I have not adopted, but many of my close friends have, and it is my great privilege to walk alongside of them in their journey. Today, I've asked my dear friend and City Moms Blog Network creative director, Laura Ellerbrook, to share her adoptive story with us. Laura and her husband, Philip, have adopted two little girls, Brighton and Juliana, through domestic adoption, and she is joining us now. Hey friend, how are you?
Great, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I am so excited to be able to talk to you today because I certainly know just from our long-lasting friendship that you have such a tender heart for adoption, and with this month being Adoption Awareness Month, I just couldn't think of anyone better to talk about your journey to adoption with than you. And so, Laura, I am just so thankful that you're willing to share your story with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Laura and I do have a long-lasting friendship, and this girl could talk about a lot of things, certainly in addition to adoption, but today we're going to kind of streamline our conversation to only adoption, but she's got so many other passions as well as giftings, and I know that just from being a personal friend of hers for so long. But Laura, why don't you kind of share with us about your personal road to adoption and kind of what that journey has looked like for you and your family.
So my husband and I had decided to start our family a couple years into our marriage. And I suppose as with a lot of newlywed couples, we thought that that would be easy and we could do it on, you know, our timeline. But it did not happen that way. After we had tried for over a year to conceive, we started meeting with an infertility doctor and began infertility treatments, went through a lot of injections, Clomid, and then eventually landed in the office of an in vitro doctor. And it was during that meeting that I really suddenly felt very strongly that that was not the path we were to pursue. And I had been raised in a family where adoption was very, very common. I have a number of cousins who are adopted, and I had, in fact, even nannied for one of them growing up. And so I it had always been near and dear to my heart and something that I'd always wanted to do at some point in our journey. So at that point, I had told my husband, hey, I feel like we are supposed to adopt. I think that's the path we're supposed to go down. But he, on the other hand, had had zero exposure to adoption. So, you know, he had never met anyone who had adopted, who'd been adopted. He had zero connection with it. So I had to let him sit on that for quite a while and just take a step back, because I certainly knew that adoption was something that we had to be on the same page. We could not go into that without knowing that it was something we both wanted to do. So I just stepped back for about 6 months and let him take his time until he came to me and said, okay, I'm ready to do this. So at that point, we had started the home study process. I was super anxious to do it. So I think our agency said we were the fastest couple to ever get through that process. We rushed through the paperwork for that, did our home study visits, which none of that, it seems intimidating going into it. Once you get there, it really is no big deal. These people want to approve you to adopt just as much as you want to do that. So it really was a much easier process than I had built it up to be in my head. Luckily, I didn't have any friends who had adopted. My family had, but it had been years and years prior and not in our state that we were living in at the time in Arizona. But luckily you, Stephanie, actually had connected me, with a friend of yours, who had adopted. And so that was so helpful just to sit down and meet with her and have her kind of take us through the steps of what that would look like. And she had also recommended an adoption consultant, which I, before that, had never even heard of. But typically with an adoption agency, a social worker is working more on behalf of the birth mother. And so this gave us an opportunity to have someone that we felt like was our advocate. And so it's a total separate agency that we had used. So that really gave me some peace of mind. And she was really great in just walking us through the process, kind of walking alongside us and just taking it step by step. So yeah, after we had finished our home study paperwork, in Arizona, we had to submit that to the court to be approved. It was the only state in the nation that you have to go through a court approval, versus a social worker approving that. So we were in the waiting process for that to be approved, and we had received a phone call from our agency saying, hey, we have so many birth mothers that are just waiting to be matched, and we don't have any other families with preferences that are as open as yours in terms of gender, race, age, that kind of thing. So they said, would you be willing to let us present you to some birth mothers before your paperwork or your home study is approved, and we would take care of getting you guardianship in the meantime? And we said, absolutely. Could not wait to get started in that process. So I stayed up all night long that night, getting our profile book together. And so the profile book is where you kind of present your family. So it's pictures and captions and writing about your family, your extended family, your home, your neighborhood, your community, just passions of your family, things that you like to do. I'm just trying to give the birth parent a little glimpse into what their child's life would look like with you as their family. So I finished that overnight. I turned that in the next day. And 3 days later, we were matched, which was just crazy. It was moving so quickly. I felt like all the stories I'd heard were that it was this long, long process that took years and years. And I was shocked to find out that that just wasn't the case. And so we actually, with that match, just did not feel like that was, it was not the right match for our family. And once we got all the specifics of that case, and just felt like our heart was being moved towards a little girl, and we didn't know that before. And so we had switched our preferences a little bit, and, you know, the agency had given us a little pushback saying, you know, you could end up waiting a long time. But we just really felt like that's what we were supposed to do. And so we stuck to our guns and we said, that's fine. We'll wait as long as we need to for our baby. So they ended up calling us back the very next day and telling us that we were matched, which was awesome. It was so, so exciting. And so we then started going to doctor's appointments with this birth mother. We got to meet her. First of all, we went out for lunch with her. And we just really felt our hearts warming up to her. Prior to that, we didn't know if we wanted an open or closed adoption. We just didn't know what that would look like. All the research I had done had told me that an open adoption is the best scenario for the child and for the birth mother in terms of her healing. And so I knew that that, you know, statistically and was supposed to be the best, but I, you know, we were just nervous. What does that look like? But we found through going to these doctor's appointments with our daughter's birth mother that we just grew such a love for her. She really became almost like another member of our family. So the time for our daughter's birth came. It was about 10 weeks after we were matched with Shantae. And she, we got the call from the agency and got to go to the hospital and be there for her birth. In fact, Shantae invited me to be in the delivery room with her. I got to watch her be born. I got to cut her umbilical cord. I got to hold her first. And then Shantae actually invited us to stay in her hospital room with her. So we got to be there for the next couple days and give her, our daughter Brighton, her first bath. And it was just the most incredible experience of my life. Those days, just not only welcoming our daughter into our family, but also growing in this relationship that I just had could never have imagined what that would look like with Shantae. It really just absolutely changed our life. So that was the story of our first daughter. If you'd like, I'll go on and share with you.
Yeah, keep going. I want to hear the rest of it.
Okay, I'll keep going. So our second adoption then, we had actually received a call that our first daughter, Brighton's birth mother, was pregnant a second time and that she had wanted to place the baby with us, which we had decided prior to that we would always accept a sibling of our kids. So we had said yes, absolutely. Well, it turned out that the birth father at the time did not want to place the baby. So at that time, we didn't know that we were ready for another child. But once it was kind of presented to us, and then that opportunity kind of off the table, then we were like, wow, I guess we are ready for this. We want to do this. So again, we told the agency, okay, we want to move forward with the second adoption either way. So we had, again, worked on the paperwork and went to drop that in the mail and had gotten a call then from the agency again before they'd even received our paperwork. But they knew us at that point and they said, hey, we know your preferences already. We have a family that we think would be a great match for you. And so we again went ahead and met with that birth mother and father, and they were wonderful and it was great. And again, we attended all the appointments with them. That was a longer match. It was about 5 months between when we were matched and when our daughter Juliana was born. And so again, we got to be at the hospital. Hers was kind of emergency birth in the middle of the night, but we still arrived at the hospital just before her C-section happened, and again got to stay there. The hospital gave us a room So we got to be there. She was in the NICU for a bit, but again, wonderful experience with her birth, and but her birth parents actually chose a closed adoption. And so after our experience with Shantae, we were a little disappointed because we have found just such a joy in that open relationship. But it's their decision. I cannot even begin to fathom what that would be like to be in their shoes and making that choice and a plan for your child that doesn't include being in your family. So, you know, that I believe is what she thought, how she could heal best. And I absolutely want to respect that. And we hope in the future that we'll hear from them. And we're always curious how they're doing. And they just always have a place in our hearts. So, but yeah, that's the story of our two beautiful girls.
Which are how old now?
4.5 and almost 3. You know, it's funny because the whole journey, again, was not at all what we thought our family would look like. It's not how we thought our family would be grown. But I can honestly say now, looking back, I am so grateful for my infertility. I never thought during those days of just crying and crying every month over that I would ever say those words, but I would not have the two girls I have today if not for that season of our life. And I can't imagine any other kids in our life. And even our daughter, Brighton's birth mother, has said that she feels like Brighton was always meant to be ours. She said she never felt like it was meant to be her baby. She felt like this baby was meant to be ours. And we feel the same way.
I certainly know your story, but I'll in full transparency confess that I'm sitting here kind of teary-eyed as you're telling your story, because I truly feel like adoption is such a beautiful thing. And while as you were kind of telling me and our listeners about your story, I can't help but think that many of them were also moved just as you were sharing the details of it. But I think if we're brutally honest as well, adoption isn't an easy road. You kind of glossed over some things, you know, like we were matched with this person and it came fast. And that's not always everyone's story either.
No, absolutely not.
You know, just like everyone's journey to motherhood looks different. And even in some cases, having a biological baby, not everyone really has a baby the same way either. Like there's a lot of different options. But I guess I would be curious to hear if you have any surprises that came up, especially if you can think back to your first adoption, that were just a little surprising to you in going through the process the first time, that might be helpful for someone to know, especially someone that's either considering adoption themselves, or someone that, such as myself, is just looking to support adoptive mamas in my life. Is there anything that you can think of?
Initially, one of the biggest surprises was the cost. For private adoption, it can be anywhere from, you know, $15,000 to $60,000-$70,000, which just feels exorbitant, just huge, a lot of money when you're, you know, especially comparing that to, oh, we just want to get pregnant on our own and have a baby, like that our insurance covers the hospital bills for. I don't know if anyone's quite prepared for that huge of a figure. Now, the beautiful thing is that there are so many resources out there to help with the cost of that. There is a tax refund that is huge that actually just got approved to continue. So we're very excited about that. That really helps. That helps offset the cost, though not immediately. It will help on your tax refund, which is helpful. There are a ton of different organizations that offer grants or loans, even if it comes to that. But there are a lot of grants that are offered out there and scholarship type opportunities. And then people are so willing to help out. I cannot tell you how many people came to us and offered to help financially with the cost of that. And so we have a lot of friends who have since adopted and have done a lot of fundraising and that type of thing. And then the other thing is to talk to your employer. We were shocked. My husband's company actually had something set up that they offered to pay half the cost of our adoption, which was just amazing. We didn't even know that those things existed. And so I think I would just encourage people that are considering it to just start talking about it, asking about it, doing research. But you'd be surprised at the different opportunities that are out there to help financially. And so I would say never, never, never let finances be a reason to not adopt. I've never known anyone who has pursued adoption and then wasn't able to follow through with it because of finances, sure, ever. So I would say absolutely do your research and find those resources because they are available. Other surprises. As I mentioned, we were super surprised at the love that we had for the birth parents. I don't think we anticipated what a connection we would feel with them. And so I think just being open to that and realizing that those relationships can be so life-giving. And it's been really beautiful to see our daughter Brighton and her love for her birth family, and that she talks about them and we have pictures of them hanging in her room. And it's just neat to see her feel very comfortable talking about it. And I think that she is able to learn about herself even through that relationship. She's still fairly young. She's only 4, but I'm very thankful that we have those open lines of communication with them. And even for things like medical stuff, there's been numerous times that I've reached out to her birth mother to ask her about different medical things in her family, if they had experienced this or that. And so that's been really helpful too. I was also surprised, like I said, by the length of time it took us. I was anticipating it to be a years long process, which I think is certainly the case with international adoption. Just there's a lot of legal stuff to go through there between the different countries, but really within the United States, and like I said, all journeys are totally different, as you had mentioned. But for us, we were shocked at how fast we were matched. We were not prepared for that. So, but it's nice to hear. I feel like you hear a lot about those stories that take a long time, but sometimes you need to hear those stories that it's possible too for it to go quickly. And so, you know, every journey looks different, but I think no matter how long the wait, or how little it is, I think once you have that child in your arms, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it's worth it. Every minute, every day, every year is worth it once you have your child in your arms.
I love so many things that you've said. I'm trying to wrap my mind around, like, which direction, what things we could talk about. But I do feel like so much in life, right, if there's 10 total comments given to us or 10 stories shared with us, we fixate on the one negative one, like, yes, as opposed to the 9 positives. And I know I'm generalizing here, but to your point, I love hearing an adoption story that's gone so well and did go quickly. And to my point about the negative story or negative comment, I think so many people are fixate on that one story they heard about adoption not going as favorably for one reason or another, and they miss out on all of the beautiful stories that are out there. And I know you were sharing some general adoption statistics with me earlier, but would you mind kind of sharing just general statistics so people have an idea of what adoption looks like in the U.S. right now?
So right now there are around 428,000 children in the foster care system. And there are about 135,000 children that are adopted in the United States each year. The other thing that I found really interesting was that although no more than 2% of Americans have actually adopted, more than a third have considered it. which is just fascinating to me. I go, gosh, if you're considering it, what are the hindrances? What's stopping people from moving forward in that to the point that only 2% have actually adopted? As I mentioned, that first statistic, 428,000 children in the foster care system. There's so many of those kids that are available for adoption, and out of the foster care system, that's typically free. It doesn't cost anything. And there are so many kids that need families and need homes. So those things were just really fascinating.
Yeah, that statistic about the 2% of Americans actually adopt and a third of Americans, so 33%, have considered it. I go back to your story and your comment about your husband just not having any really history or experience with adoption prior to yours, and how that likely kind of closed him off early on to the option of adopting. And that's not bad. That's nothing to say about your husband. I mean,
no.
He's wonderful.
He has a huge heart.
Yes, it just speaks to how likely, I've got to assume, that if there's such a discrepancy in people that have considered it and people that actually do, there is such fear or uncertainty, or there's likely probably some assumptions that are made on people on just about the adoption process that really keep people from doing that and experiencing such a beautiful journey, like for their family and not just their family specifically, but I know I can speak to how your adoption has impacted our family too. And so anyway, I just find those statistics real interesting just to consider.
Yeah.
And certainly I just have loved hearing your story and being a part of your adoption story because it really has been a wonderful journey for the two of you. And I don't say that lightly. I know it's been hard too. And so here's kind of how I want to wrap up our conversation. I would love for you to share maybe a word of encouragement to three different people that are listening. Mamas that have adopted themselves. So kind of your crew, right? your peers. I'd love for you to also speak a word of encouragement to moms that are in that 33% that are considering adoption. And lastly, I would love for you to say something to the moms out there that are maybe not looking to adopt themselves, but certainly want to support other adoptive moms. So let's start with the mom that has already adopted. Do you have any kind of encouragement that you might share with them?
Oh, you are doing a good work, Mama. I know as an adoptive mom, I feel like there's a whole nother set of questions that comes with everything. Every behavior our child has, everything that they talk about, just conversations we have with them, I feel like there's always this filter of, is this something that is just a normal part of being a kid in this stage, in this season, or is this because they were adopted? And so I think that we tend to question a lot of things and overanalyze a lot of stuff our children are going through because, you know, we understand that they come with a whole nother set of circumstances in their life. But I feel like, actually, Steph, you gave me some really good encouragement on this, just that kids are kids. They don't really think too deeply about stuff, and they get over things quickly, and not to stress about it. So that's my encouragement. Don't stress about it. Don't worry about it too much. You are doing a good work by giving them a loving home and a family to be raised in that, you know, they are just going to be in such a good place, and that the love that you provide them takes them so far. And so you are doing a good work. Stick with it. These children, I think, will be as blessed as we are as their parents, getting to raise them. And then a word of encouragement for those that are considering adoption, do it. Just jump in and go for it. It is seriously the most wonderful thing I have done in my entire life. I am so, so proud of it. And I would have majorly been missing out if I hadn't. I feel like not only on this beautiful child, on these beautiful children that I get to parent, but also on the relationship I have with their birth families, and then into the relationships I've developed with other adoptive families. It is just such a rich, beautiful community, and just one of the very, very best parts of my life. So my encouragement is do it, do it, do it. Stop questioning it. Jump in. Just start doing your research and taking steps forward. The process feels overwhelming, but I promise it isn't. Once you get in the process of it, just take one step at a time, and it really is much, much simpler than we build it up to be. And then for those wanting to support adoptive families, we so appreciate that. It can feel like a lonely journey a little bit when it can appear like everyone around you is getting pregnant so easily, and people talk about birth stories and talk about different things related to biological children. I think that just walking alongside those friends of yours that are walking through adoption, asking them questions, make them feel included and stuff, celebrating all the steps of that journey with them. So celebrating with them when they finish their home study, when they turn in their profile book, you know, walking through them when with them when they, you know, are being presented, and especially once they bring that baby home into their arms. I think there was a beautiful story about your very first podcast interview that you had. And so that was just a couple weeks ago, and Danielle, I believe is her name, and she actually brought home her baby, which is so exciting, like the week the podcast went live, which is so cool. And I thought it was so neat how her community there had blessed her when she came home and just made her feel so loved and celebrated. And I think that was just beautiful. I think throwing baby showers, I think all those different things, you know, celebrating alongside those people, giving them, helping them financially with those adoptions is so incredibly helpful because of that huge cost. And then, you know, come alongside them in prayer and just giving them words of encouragement along the way. I think any of those things are so, so helpful. Just even if you don't have experience with adoption, it's okay to say that and say, I don't know how to help you, and just asking them, what can I do for you? So I think anything that you can provide just to help them feel like they have a support system is so helpful.
I love all those words of encouragement that you've provided each type of mom that could possibly be listening right now, because the statistics really are staggering. Like, there are so many kids that are in need of loving homes, and so many loving homes out there. And so whether you find yourself in a spot where you've already adopted, or you're considering it, or you're just in a spot where you've decided, like, I love the beautiful part of adoption, but I, you know, for our family, we're in a position to just be supporting other adoptive families. I just think, you know, we all should be rallying behind this, because truly motherhood is a journey that we do together. None of us walks the same motherhood journey, and so whether you're an adoptive mama or one looking to support adoptive moms, I hope you'll find Laura's story to be encouraging. We will have kind of some of those statistics that we shared. We'll have some of those in the show notes, so you can access those easily, just in case you're interested. But I love to be able to end every podcast, and this isn't so specifically about adoption in particular, but Laura, if you can put on your, like, think back to the early days of motherhood when you had your first, you brought her home, and likely you were a ball of nerves or whatever, who knows what you were thinking, but if you could speak of word encouragement to you yourself, you know, 4.5 years ago, what might you say?
Oh, goodness. I guess just savor those moments with your kids. Remember those and file them away. I remember when we brought Brighton home, we fought over who got to hold her. We fought over who got to change her diaper and who got to put her to bed. And I think just holding on to those moments and carrying that joy with you. I think we were so excited to finally have a baby, and just say, don't ever lose that, and remember those moments, because it is such a sweet journey, and they are such gifts to us, these kids are. So I would just say savor every moment with them.
Well, I love that. And I'll kind of close on a word that I know I shared with you a couple weeks ago, but something that I've been pondering, whether it's an adoptive child or really any child for that matter, the fact that when a child is born, like, the whole world changes. And what I love, how that kind of speaks to your kids, as well as all the other adopted kids in the country, in the world, is that they're changing the world. Like, the minute they're born, right? Like, they are opening so many people's eyes to the beauty that is adoption. So every one of their friends will grow up now knowing what adoption looks like in a practical sense. And all those people will go out and have more familiarity with it and be more comfortable with it. And so I just think, like, what a beautiful thing that is, that truly, like, your choice to pursue adoption for your family will affect, you know, how many people's lives in the future. We don't know, but it's just such a beautiful thing. And so I so appreciate you sharing your story. And thank you for being open to this and being with us today.
Thank you.
As Laura briefly mentioned, the guest on our very first podcast, Danielle Kleiner from Twin Cities Moms Blog, now has a new baby through adoption. You may remember when she was a guest on the podcast, she was still waiting to be matched with a birth mom and baby. Well, her match came right about the same time the podcast aired, so we are incredibly thrilled to welcome baby Arden May. She's healthy and beautiful, and she's home now with Danielle, her husband, and her big sister Emerson, who is just over the moon. So a huge congratulations to Danielle and her sweet baby. We are so excited that your journey has, in some ways, ended, but also very much so just begun. So congratulations from all of us at City Moms Blog Network. When we started planning for this episode, we knew we didn't just want to hear from one adoptive mom. So we put out a request to our site owners and contributors to share a quick soundbite with us about adoption, and we were overwhelmed with the response. We wish we could share each and every story with you, but we only have time for a few quick ones, so here they are.
Hello, my name is Carrie. We have four beautiful children, Gabriella, Caleb, Lily, and Selah. For us, adoption is one of the purest and deepest forms of love that exists, and we are honored to experience it daily.
My name is Jenny, and I'm an adoptive mom to two boys, Jeremy and Jackson. We live near Knoxville, Tennessee, and my favorite thing to tell my boys is that they were chosen. We were meant to be together. Our family was built by providence, not coincidence.
Hi, my name is Megan.
Hi, my name is London, and I'm 5.
What we love about adoption is
being a family.
How sweet is that? Well, those mamas represent just a few of the thousands of moms who are contributors to City Moms Blog Network sister sites across the country. We have nearly 80 sites with millions of moms reading posts every month. Connection is the heart behind City Moms Blog Network. Motherhood can be a lonely journey, but our local sites all aim to connect moms in their communities by sharing information online and also hosting offline events. We'll be highlighting one of our newest sister sites soon, so stay tuned for that.
Time to make your list and check it twice, mamas. The annual City Moms Blog Network holiday wish list is here. You've got to get this.
Okay, let's be honest here for a minute. We all know who's going to be doing the holiday shopping at your house, and that's you. That could be really overwhelming, right? Good thing we've got you covered. The City Moms Blog Network Holiday Wish List is here. The Holiday Wish List is our mom-approved holiday shopping guide, which includes gift ideas for the entire family. We've got dollhouses, espresso machines, beard kits. We've got something for everyone on your list. The Holiday Wishlist officially launches on Friday, November 24th, but I'm giving you a sneak preview today. Truly, all of the gift ideas on our wish list this year are fantastic ideas, but I did want to spotlight a couple of them just to give you a little taste of what's to come. A couple of my favorites that I picked out are this adorable retro kitchen from KidCraft. We also have a bike from Schwinn, as well as Hannah Anderson pajamas. Those are obviously great gift ideas for kiddos, but don't worry, we also have some wonderful gift ideas for the special guys in your life, as well as ladies in your life, and so you're definitely going to want to check out the list on Friday, November 24th. So make sure to mark your calendar, Friday, November 24th, which is Black Friday, and you can enter to win one of everything on our list. That's a $2,400 value. So make sure that you're following City Moms Blog Network on Facebook and Instagram to see the announcement and enter for your chance to win. Happy shopping, everyone. This episode of Just Add Sprinkles, Celebrating Motherhood is brought to you by Mox. Now, I have a couple pairs of Mox shoes, and I have got to tell you, these are some of my very favorite shoes. I love the versatility of these shoes. Not only are they versatile, though, they're also incredibly comfortable, they're stylish, and one of my favorite parts is that they're also quite affordable for a flat. Mox are for every woman in any walk of life. They're made from 100% man-made rubber, and they're incredibly light and breathable, which is one of the things that I love the most about them. Mox are available at moxshoes.com. Mox is spelled M-O-X, just so you get that right. So moxshoes.com, and you're getting a discount code to try them out. So stay tuned until the end of this podcast.
I'm Michelle Fortin with City Moms Blog Network News. City Moms Blog Network is proud to welcome Lafayette Moms Blog in South Louisiana. Joining our network in October, Lafayette Moms Blog is the third City Moms Blog Network site in the Pelican State. Louisiana families in New Orleans and Baton Rouge have long enjoyed the information and connection provided by New Orleans Moms Blog and Red Stick Moms Blog, owned by Ashley Angelico and Elizabeth Schmelling. However, time and time again, these two moms heard from families further south in Lafayette. They needed this resource too. Elizabeth Schmelling explains.
South Louisiana is an enthusiastic community that exudes Southern hospitality and was begging for a resource like this, which we are thrilled to provide. We believe it is our responsibility, in a way, to ensure Louisiana remains an attractive place to raise families. One way to do that is by ensuring moms have access to information and a support network that will make parenting easier and more fulfilling.
Congratulations, Louisiana, on another great connection point for local moms. If you are interested in joining our sisterhood and building authentic community with other moms in your area, please visit citymomsblog.com for more information.
So that's it for this episode of Just Add Sprinkles, Celebrating Motherhood. Thank you for joining me as we celebrated National Adoption Month. I sure hope this episode was encouraging to you. Don't forget, regardless of how your family has come to be, we are all in this motherhood journey together. All of our stories look so different and so unique, and that truly is an absolutely beautiful thing. And so while we're specifically celebrating adoption in this episode, truly we're celebrating motherhood as a whole. And so thank you for joining me. A big thank you also to the adoptive mamas who shared their hearts with us, including Laura Ellerbrook. And congratulations again to Danielle Kleiner on the addition of Arden to her family through adoption. A special welcome to Lafayette Moms Blog. We are incredibly glad to have you as part of our sister site network. We're also grateful for our sponsor for this podcast, Mox. You're getting 15% off Mox shoes. So shop online at moxshoes.com and use the code CMB15. That's CMB15 when you check out. Next episode of Just Add Sprinkles, I'll be talking with another one of our network writers who had a post that was incredibly well received amongst our readers entitled, "A Friendly Suggestion from a Mom with Too Much Stuff." It's an awesome conversation about preparing for the holidays and gift giving. You're not going to want to miss it. Until then, don't forget to just add sprinkles.